and from the Lord Jesus Christ. During the long history from the first century AD up until around the year 1000, 1100, 1200, etc., the church, by its own fault, fell away from the pure word of God. They allowed traditions and ceremonies and baubles to cluster around the word and sacraments so that everything was encrusted and no one could see down to the root of the matter. And so it was by the time of the 1500s, the church was at its most corrupt state, not only politically, not only structurally as a church, but most importantly, doctrinally and spiritually. The church had become a spiritual racket, and the people of God was utterly ignorant. So God, in his mercy, didn't leave it like that. But at the proper time, he raised up Dr. Martin Luther, and he showed Luther that his truth is simply and clearly discovered in the Bible. Luther first discovered the Bible. And when he discovered what the Bible actually says, and not the baubles and the crusts of human tradition and church law, but what the Bible, God's word, actually says, he learned that the way of salvation is very different from the way the church had been teaching it. And so Luther began to study the scriptures, and he began to learn the truth. And because he was a professor of theology, he began to teach the truth. And he said of himself, he said, "I was like a man walking up a dark staircase. And I stumbled as I walked up, and I grabbed out, and I grabbed hold of a rope, and bells started ringing." That's what Luther, how he described himself and the Reformation. That he wasn't thinking about a reformation of the church. He was just doing his duty as a professor of theology at the university, and everything went crazy. Right? Now, why do we, all these years later, why do we celebrate the Reformation? Because just like the days before Luther and the Reformation, we are also very liable to become lazy, lackadaisical, to begin to kind of look over and see that we think the grass is greener on the other side. And so, you know, we like to fit in with society. And we know that we Lutherans, we are not the majority witness even in the church. The Roman Catholics, the Eastern Catholics, the Methodists, the Baptists, and all manner of other people are bigger and more impressive in a worldly sense than we are. But we don't take delight in, nor do we find our confidence in, the fact that we are big and impressive. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we glory in the truth of God, which is greater than any institution or any outward pomp and circumstance. We have the word of God, which sets us free. Now, let's take a look at one of the chief passages of scripture that helped Luther to see the truth of the way of salvation, what it isn't and what it is. In Romans chapter 3, St. Paul concludes the first three chapters of the book of Romans, where he shows that Gentiles, judgmental people, and Jews all are under sin, and all are under condemnation just by virtue of being born in the world. Everyone is conceived and born in sin. Everyone has sinned, and everyone falls short. And the law stands over us all. The law, the Ten Commandments, I mean, all right? The law stands over us all, and it condemns us as sinners who are liable to the judgment of God. This is what Paul is saying in verses 19 and 20. He says, we know that what things soever the law says, whatever the Ten Commandments say, it says to them who are under the law. Who is under the law? You are under the law. Every human being is under the law. What does that mean? It means you are the creation of God. You were created in the image of God. You, therefore, were created to faithfully serve God, to fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. And therefore, when the commandments address you, they address you as a rightful authority that you are in duty bound to obey. You don't say, well, I don't buy into that, so it doesn't apply to me. Just wait until judgment day. Wait until judgment day. Do you think you've been exempted because you didn't believe? Right? In another place, St. Paul tells us, but what if some did not believe? Does their unbelief make void the promises of God? God forbid, right? Just because some wise guy doesn't believe doesn't mean it ain't true. Judgment day is coming, and there are going to be a lot of shocked faces because God's law speaks to those who are under it, and you and I and everybody else are under the law. We are in duty bound to follow it, and we have not. That's the story of the law. So whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, mouths shut, and all the world may be guilty before God. This is what the law does. It proclaims all the world to be guilty before God. So we stand under God, guilty of sin and liable to judgment and punishment. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. What does it mean to be justified in his sight? It means that God looks upon you and declares you not guilty. He declares you forgiven of your sins. All right? To be justified is to be declared righteous. And he says, you'll never get there by trying to keep the law. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. And this is why God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, that we may see our sin. All right? God gave his law to reveal his will, to reveal what we are to be, what we are to do, what we are not to do in our service to God. So he reveals his will. But that will has several purposes. One purpose of the will of God revealed is that it curbs coarse outbreaks of wickedness in the world. Right? Secondly, it acts as a mirror to show people their sins so that they will become alarmed and realize that they need help. All right? That's the chief purpose of the law, is to reveal your sins to you so that you will be alarmed and seek a remedy. You cannot be saved by trying harder to keep the rules. Because every time you keep a rule, you also break the rule that you're trying to keep. Why? Because you keep the law for the wrong reasons. And you keep it imperfectly. And the law demands absolutely perfect obedience all the time without cease. Right? That's what the law demands. We never do that. And so here, the message of the law is, we're skunked, right? That's the message of the law. It shows you your sin, and it shows you that you can't do anything about it, and it shows you that if something isn't done for you, you are lost. Right? That's what the law says. But notice the next verse in our text. In verse 21, Paul says, but now. So he tells us the bad news about what the law does. And that it's a dead end when it comes to a way of salvation. And then he says, but now. Now what? Now that Christ has come. Now that the gospel has been revealed in the person and work of Jesus, now that he has obeyed God's law perfectly for all sinners, and now that he has suffered and died upon the cross to pay in full the debt of sin that I owe, now we are in an entirely new situation. We are no longer under the law and its condemnation, but we are now in the day of grace, the New Testament, the New Covenant. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. How is it manifested? It is manifested in the coming of Christ. It is manifested in his suffering and death and resurrection from the dead. And it is manifested in the church's preaching of the pure word of the gospel publicly in all the world throughout all these generations. The righteousness of God is apparent. It is shown. It is now obvious to us. God has revealed it. And that's good. Why? Because if we don't get God's righteousness, we won't have any righteousness at all. And we will stand before him on judgment day, lost and condemned sinners without hope. But the righteousness of God, God's righteousness, has been revealed in Christ, and it is revealed in the gospel. And it was told about by the Old Testament, he says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The gospel was spoken in the Old Testament, and the coming of Christ and his redemption was prophesied in the Old Testament. So it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. What is? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So you cannot be justified. You cannot stand in the judgment based on your obedience to the law. You can only be sent to hell forever. But God didn't leave you there. The righteousness of God has been manifested, and this is the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all that believe. What does that mean? When you believe in Jesus Christ, when you trust in him, his holy righteousness and his entire payment for all of your sins is imputed to you. It is credited to you, right? That it is reckoned unto you. He did it, right? He did it. But his doing is given to you. It is offered to you. And it is imputed to you as if you had done it. And you are now righteous before God with the righteousness of God, which is the righteousness that avails before God. It's the righteousness that he accepts, right? And that's what we need. We don't know we need it because we think that we're good little people and that we deserve to go to heaven, right? And we lie to ourselves for our whole lives, right? And so he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, to all and upon all those who believe. Boom. That's the righteousness of God. And that has been purchased, won for you forever. And you don't do anything to deserve it. You simply receive what is offered to you in the good news that I'm telling you. You see? And he says, now listen. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the first thing, that there's no difference in all, any people, no distinction. All have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. But this is also true for all of us. Being justified or declared righteous freely as a gift by his grace, his undeserved favor. God loves you. You don't deserve to be loved by God, but he loves you, right? And he shows you his favor, all right? So you are declared righteous freely by his grace. That means his favor through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption in Christ Jesus is his obedience to the law on behalf of sinners and his suffering and dying and paying for the sins of the world. This is the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is the basis of our hope in God. Jesus came and did something. He redeemed us. He atoned for our sins. And therefore, we have this wonderful, wonderful redemption in Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned. We don't deserve salvation, but justification is a free gift by the grace of God through the redemption of Jesus Christ for all of us. So when we believe it, we got it. You see? When we believe it, we got it. All right? And then he says a little bit more about Jesus. He says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Oh, there's a big word. Propitiation. Jesus was set forth by God to be a propitiation. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, by what he did for us, he put God's wrath against us away. He ended God's wrath against us because of our sins. So Jesus made a sacrifice of himself, a wrath-ending sacrifice. That's what a propitiation is, a sacrifice that takes away wrath. You got one party that is angry, you got another party that is guilty. The party that is angry deserves to be angry and has a right to punish. The other party not the same thing at all. But when a redemption takes place, when a ransom is paid, when an atonement takes place, the wrath of the offended party is taken away, and the person who is guilty is able to come back together and reconcile with the offended party. You see, this is what propitiation is all about. So God set Jesus forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood. We trust that because Jesus shed his blood for us, our sins are covered and forgiven. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So, this way of salvation that God planned from the foundations of the world, promised in the Old Testament, brought to completion under Christ, in Christ, under the New Testament, this way of salvation shows that God is righteous. You know, people say, you know, why didn't God just cut us a break and just forgive us? Just, you know, because he's God and we're, you know. God is a holy and a just God. He cannot be in fellowship with sin and evil. He can have nothing to do with sin and evil. If God were to reveal his glory to us in our sin, without a covering for our sin, his very presence would vaporize us forever. But here we see that the gospel shows that God is righteous and that he declares righteous the one who believes in Jesus. Because in the giving of his son unto death on behalf of sinners, God paid for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is God and man in one person. He is God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He's the God-man. And so he, the God-man, is crucified. His one suffering and death covers the entire universe of persons. Do you see what I'm saying? His one suffering and death is sufficient to cover the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is what Jesus does. He does it because he's man, but he's the man who is also God. And as the God-man, his one act of redemption is sufficient for everyone. So he is just, he is righteous, and he justifies those who believe in Jesus. So where's boasting? Where's pride? Where does all that fit in? It doesn't fit in at all, right? Now the law doesn't give you any cause to be proud because the law condemns you. And the gospel calls you to be thankful and to receive the wonderful gift of God with a grateful heart. And so there's no boasting there, except for this boast. The Christian does not boast in himself, doesn't boast in his own accomplishments. The Christian boasts in Jesus and in the cross of Christ. That's our boast before God. Not in ourselves, not even in our seasoned, accomplished theological sophistication, right? But in Jesus and in what he has done for us once and for all. So he comes to the end of the matter. This is the punchline. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified. He is declared righteous by faith, quite apart from the deeds of the law. And this is the slogan of the Reformation, that we are justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This is the insight that we are ever being reminded as we celebrate the day of the Reformation, our heritage in the Reformation. And this is what we are called upon and invited to preserve among us and to share with the world, that our salvation does not come from ourselves, but it comes as a free gift of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.